Your word is the single greatest way for me to know what your will is, and your will is always the best plan for my life. That's what the Christ follower says. What you say, Lord, I desire to do. I want to submit under your word, even if it's like a cost of my pleasure, the cost of my desire, the cost of what I think is going to make me feel best, whatever it is. I trust you. You know best. That takes humility, man. But that's where path of blessing and joy come from. God's plan is always, always best.
Living the Light is back with you today, and we are in a series from Matthew 5 called Living in the Light of the Kingdom. Today we are getting back into a tough topic and going through what the Bible says about divorce. Before we get back into it, though, it's good to be reminded that no matter what our culture says, our true authority is the Word of God. And what Jesus says is the final word on that topic. Again, these aren't our words, but Jesus' words, so we can take heart and have confidence that what he says is true. He designed marriage. In the last message, we covered what God's plan is for marriage, and today we are going through where divorce is permitted in Scripture and the topic of remarriage. As always, if you need a refresh, you can go back and listen to any messages from this series on our website at liveinthelight.ca. Hey, if you're ready to go, open your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 5. Here's our teaching from Pastor Robbie.
For those who get divorced for unbiblical reasons, he says here directly that they are committing adultery. What we need in our day and what is so important is we have to see how seriously God takes marriage. We live in a day of great irreverence and in many cases blasphemy. And taking God so casually and just mocking his word, mocking his commands, just disregarding his holiness. There's so much of that today in the pursuit of self and the desire for pleasure and the wanting of situations to go as we want more than anything else. As I'm saying all these things to men, I completely am sensitive to the reality of situations and circumstances and complexities, and we'll get to some of that as we go on here, but I just want us to see we will never ever lose by increasing the seriousness with which we view what God considers the most sacred institution between human beings again on earth, which is marriage. The lack of reverence toward God and marriage within the church even is frightening in our day. Let me say this too, okay? You're here right now, whatever situation that you found yourself in or that you've come with, okay? There is forgiveness for anyone who sincerely approaches Jesus Christ in repentance and confession. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what's going on. Again, if you're sitting here like, man, if I knew, maybe so. But listen, if you sincerely approach Jesus Christ by grace, if you sincerely seek him and you admit and confess the things that have done wrong and sinfulness, again, if you approach Jesus for that, you will not be turned away. You will be forgiven. You will know grace. You will know healing. You will know his love and you will know his peace. This is why Jesus came. This is why Jesus died. And this is why Jesus was raised from the dead. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. And again, he wants to forgive, but again, he doesn't force us. We must admit, we must confess, we must repent. We must come to him and desire to be healed, forgiven, and cleansed, and restored back to a sincere relationship with him and whatever's happened in our past. Again, a lot of different things going on today, a lot of different situations that I have no clue about. Jesus knows everyone perfectly. But you sincerely seek him, and the promise is that you will be forgiven for whatever the Holy Spirit brings up again within our lives. Within our text here, within Matthew 19 here, what is clear though, in the case of adultery within marriage, divorce is permitted by the spouse who has been sinned against. I'll say that again. I want to be so clear based on Scripture. In the case of adultery within marriage, divorce is permitted by the spouse who has been sinned against. But this is very important here. Hear this one too, okay? Notice this. Jesus allows divorce for adultery. He does not command it. Please hear that. Jesus allows for divorce. in the cases of adultery, but he does not command it at all. I mean, I just consider the marriages that have been devastated by sin and different situations over the years, but then listen, by God's grace, restored by grace. I mean, unbelievable stories of reconciliation and forgiveness. Pain, yes. Hurt, yes. Grief, yes. Loss, yes. But yet the Lord in his grace and power and the humility of those involved and repentance and forgiveness, the amount of situations where sin has come in to destroy, and in the end, Jesus Christ wins and they remain together, and they are unbelievable testimonies of God's grace and how he takes ashes and turns it into beauty. Over and over and over, I've seen that time and time again, astoundingly awesome, astoundingly beautiful. Again, this is what Jesus Christ does. Again, be so clear, divorce is allowed here in this case. It is not commanded in the slightest. So being in Matthew 19, we started in Matthew 5. So I want us to go back now to Matthew chapter 5. You hopefully kept the finger there. It should be easy to return to. And just the passage that's very similar to Matthew 19, the one we started with. Look at verse 32 here. Jesus says this. He says, but I say to you, Matthew 5, verse 32, but I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality, notice, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Why does he say here, makes her commit adultery? How does that make sense? Well, because in the first century, a woman would be very unlikely to be able to support herself. So this assumes when a man divorces his wife, right, then he would force her to remarry because she couldn't survive without a husband. And in that sense, he makes her commit adultery, divorces her unbiblically, and then makes her do the same. But the blame here is on the husband. The blame is on the one who's divorcing, again, for the wrong reasons or for sinful reasons. I want to be clear as well, but this passage also confirms in Matthew 5, verse 32, that in cases of sexual immorality, which is adultery, is one biblical reason for divorce. Again, it is permitted, it is not commanded. There is one other legitimate exception for divorce that we believe that the scriptures are very clear on, and that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'll ask you to turn there, the last place we'll turn together today. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, please go, please go, please go. Please turn there. Again, make sure you see what's in front of you. You can mark it up, you can highlight it, you can just, again, make note of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, encourage your neighbor to go there. Again, I want you to see what I'm saying. I want you to see what's in front of us. I want you to know I'm not making this up. Okay, let's just be Bible students. These are exceptionally important issues. Let's make sure we see them together. And don't let me do all the work for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Okay, this is the Apostle Paul now. Okay, essentially what he's doing is he's adding on to the teaching of marriage and divorce and remarriage. Okay, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writing the word of God, right? He's able to do this because, again, the authority given to him, the Holy Spirit that's writing through him. Verse 10. Chapter 7, 1 Corinthians, verse 10 from chapter 7. To the married I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. Why is he saying that? Not I, but the Lord. He's saying Jesus has previously taught on this subject in the Gospels. That's what he's referring to. The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and her husband should not divorce his wife. To the rest I say, I, not the Lord. Now he's saying, see, I am now, this has not been previously stated by Christ. I am now adding to the teachings on marriage, again, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be in scripture forever, right? So I am adding to the situation that if a brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children will be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. What is he saying there? I believe this is what he means, is that an unbelieving husband, let's say, who is living with a believing wife, has a much greater chance under the Christian influence of his wife to be set apart for salvation by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. To exist in a home with a spouse that is saved in Jesus Christ, you have a much, I mean, stats prove this too. You have a much better chance of coming to Christ and coming to salvation, being made holy in that sense. You are set apart because of who you are married to now, as opposed to being married to an unbeliever where both of you, again, are not saved in Christ. That's what he is communicating in that regard. Verse 15 is key, very key. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. Notice, in such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. So again, I'm trying to be as clear as I can today, just to summarize what's happening here. Paul is providing a teaching on marriage that Jesus did not previously address, right? Now, why is that the case? When Jesus is teaching on Matthew 5, Matthew 19, his audience is basically 100% Jewish. Every person in that context, again, Jewish people only married other Jewish people within the religious system of Judaism. So there's like never a situation, I guess, in the context of Jesus' teaching, where there was an unbeliever being married to a believer. Corinth is a whole different story. Corinth, now the gospel is going out to the nations and lives are getting, you know, turned upside down all over the place. People are being brought to Christ, and you have, like we do today, you have many situations where one spouse is saved and the other is not. So now by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we introduce a teaching for all time in regards to the context of a believer being married to an unbeliever. That's why this is happening. That's why Paul says then, he says, I, not the Lord. A new teaching, again, verified by the authority of God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he starts off by saying this. He's like, if that's your context, a believer is to remain married to an unbeliever as long as the unbelieving spouse is willing to do so. A believer is to, totally clear, is to remain married to an unbeliever as long as the unbelieving spouse is willing to do so. What he adds in verse 15 is, in the case of a unbeliever's deserting of a believing spouse or an unbeliever abandonment of a believing spouse, in this case, he says, the believing spouse is permitted to obtain a legal divorce. We get that from the phrase, they are not enslaved. They are no longer bound. They are now deemed as an unmarried person. So again, we believe scripture is very clear in presenting that today. When a believing spouse is abandoned by an unbelieving spouse, and this is key too, okay? And there's no desire for reconciliation apart from the unbelieving spouse. Let's say the unbelieving husband, he leaves, zero desire to return. Often there's gross sin involved in that as well. No intent for reconciliation. Sometimes they've taken off and already established new relationships elsewhere. In those cases, we are not going to ask the believing spouse to wait around in vain hope of reconciling. We do believe at that point, and scripture says, in this case, the believing spouse is permitted to pursue a divorce and then to be married again. And that leads us to our third question, which is this. Well, what about remarriage then? That's kind of a big one too. What about remarriage? Well, to answer this question, let's look at Matthew 19. I'll put this on the screen for you. You've seen it already, but just take a look again and see what's there. Again, very, very key verse. I want us to be good students here. So Matthew 19, verse 9, Jesus says, "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality," notice this, and marries another, commits adultery. So that verse only makes sense with "and marries another" in there. If you take out "and marries another," right, it doesn't make any sense. Whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality commits adultery. Well, that doesn't make sense because you can divorce your wife, right, but not commit adultery with someone else. And so you have to marry someone else in order to commit adultery. So if you don't marry someone else, then, so if you take that phrase out, so what I'm saying is in here, whoever divorces his wife and marries another, they are connected. Jesus is connecting both of those again within the truth of the statement. So to put it another way, hopefully to gain understanding for some of you that are still a little confused, imagine Jesus said it this way, whoever divorces his wife due to sexual immorality and marries another does not commit adultery. You have like they're connected. Divorcing and remarrying are connected in this verse. Whoever divorces his wife due to sexual immorality and then marries another again spouse does not commit adultery. So Jesus is clear here. Divorce and remarriage are allowed in the case of sexual immorality in the form of physical adultery. So to be, again, as clear as we can, remarriage in this case is not sin. However, in all the cases of unbiblical divorces, that's a different story. And it gets complex, I know, and all the variables and all the situations, but this is where we have to put ourselves before the Word of God and the Lord himself and just to search our hearts and say, Lord, what are you saying? And if we find ourselves in situations where the Lord reveals sin, then we confess and repent and we seek to be forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ and however that applies to us as well. Now, similarly, in the case of 1 Corinthians 7, verse 15 on the screen for you, right? Paul says, if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. So we believe this is a clear indication of no longer being obligated to the marriage in a situation where an unbelieving spouse has deserted or abandoned the other spouse and has no desire to return at all. Divorce is permitted and remarriage is also permitted. We are in good company here. The Westminster Confession of 1646, all these hundreds of years ago, they said it very well. I have one from the past, one from the present in terms of quotes. In the case of adultery after marriage, it is lawful for the innocent party to sue out a divorce and after the divorce to marry another as if the offending party were dead. Secondly, nothing but adultery, Nothing but adultery or such willful desertion as can in no way be remedied by the church, that's very, very important, no way be remedied by the church or civil magistrate is cause sufficient of dissolving the bond of marriage. So he's saying it's just summarizing everything we're learning today that we believe scripture teaches so clearly. Present quote by John MacArthur, we can go to that one now. He says this, he says, in God's sight, the bond between a husband and wife is dissolved only by death. That's very important to recognize, okay? Obviously, when a spouse dies, then we are free to remarry. Only by death, adultery, and an unbeliever's leaving. When the bond or bondage is broken in any of those ways, a Christian is free to remarry. And this is key. Throughout scripture, wherever legitimate divorce occurs, remarriage is assumed. Where divorce is permitted, remarriage is permitted. The key here is wherever legitimate divorce occurs, then remarriage is assumed. Understanding again what the Bible is teaching us on such important topics. Now, just kind of nearing the end of the message here, a topic that's come up increasingly in recent decades has been what about situations of abuse? Tough. The Bible doesn't explicitly deal with divorce and abuse. You won't be able to find, in my mind, and that the elders believe here, to find a scripture that can point to that exact issue. So we must be careful in what we're gonna say that the Bible is not abundantly clear on. However, that being said, physical abuse is something we take incredibly serious here as a church. And in cases of clear abuse, we will strongly, without hesitation, advise separation and safety right away. We must. It's absolutely paramount, the protection and care and safety of the spouse who is in such a difficult situation. After protection and safety has been established, and that is clear, and we believe that the spouse who is in a vulnerable and or family for that matter is in a place of protection and safety, then we seek to assess next steps of care and wisdom and possible reconciliation. But let me add here to you, man, these situations of abuse, they did not happen in a day. They often happen for many years and years and years, and it is not fixed in a day. They often take months, years, again, to sort out, and their patience and the steadfastness of understanding what's happened. And then in the case, again, to see the one who has been delivering the abuse, there must be a true repentance. There must be true confession. There must be tremendous contrition. There must be brokenness. There must be a complete evidence that the Lord is at work and the sin has been owned and change has been established. It's very, very difficult, very, very complex. To say that today, again, to assure you that as elders and pastors of the church, how seriously we take, again, situations of clear abuse and desiring, again, to make sure that all are protected and safe, again, as legally required. And of course, as we believe that scripture instructs in terms of no situation like this should ever be tolerated in terms of asking someone to stay within it. And situations of abuse in this church will not be tolerated at all, 000, as whatever power we have and the ability to protect and the ability to enter in and make sure that these situations are safe and secure. Let me just say too that every situation that we're discussing today comes with immense complexity. I would say personally, the hardest situations to deal with over decades of ministry now, I think the elders and pastors would agree too, is really cases of complexity of marriage. The variables, the situations, the past, the history, the he said, she said, the on and on and on and on, there's not a clear cut, you know, once for all, every situation you're in there, it is exhausting. The resources that they take up are immense and they come with tremendous difficulty. You need tremendous wisdom and discernment and care and grace and love and patience. God help us. In light of everything that we've talked about today too, just want to put up a slide for soul care. This is the greatest entry point of our church of deciding where you can be best cared for. Strongly encourage you to take advantage as the entry portal of like the ministries we have, the biblical counselors we have, the pastors and leaders and elders we have, the different ministries, all that. Where would you best be cared for in terms of your situation? Starting entering through soul care is the best way to do that in our church. Just really, really encourage you. And by the way, too, like obviously, like the elders are ultimately responsible for members of Hope Bible Church. We don't believe we give an account to those who are not members. We believe that's what the Bible teaches on the church. We want to love those, all those who are committed to Hope Bible Church, but we strongly encourage you, like membership is important in this regard because it helps us understand who we're dealing with and it gives us, again, a sense of authority over different situations. Really, really tough stuff, but really, really important as well. But all those who call this church their home and are intending to move towards membership, we want to be able to care for you as best we can as the Lord allows through all the different means, again, within our church. So just to end our message today, let's ask one more question. What is God's heart in all of this? Let's just maybe recap in some ways, but also affirm some other things. Let's affirm his heart. God loves marriage. His design, it's a divine institution. He is so passionate about a man and a woman joined together for life in humility and grace. But also we acknowledge that God hates divorce. Why? Because of the suffering. It was never designed that way. Divorce, the pain, we heard about that. We understand that. We don't want that at all costs. It is necessary at times. The last thing that we want to see happen though, God loves submission to his word. This is so important, eh? Because what happens in our day is like, well, forget what God says. I'm gonna do what I want to say. See, the genuine Christ follower filled with the Holy Spirit believes, I say that, I said this week, I say it a lot. God, your will is the best will, therefore I want your will. Right? I believe that. Do you believe that? Like I believe it. God, your will is the best will. I don't know what's best for me. You do. Your will is the best will. Therefore, I want your will because you know best. I may not choose it. I may not like it, but your will is obviously the best plan for my life. So therefore, how do I find your will? Your word. Your word. Your word is the single greatest way for me to know what your will is. And your will is always the best plan for my life. That's what the Christ follower says. What you say, Lord, I desire to do. I want to submit under your word, even if it's like a cost of my pleasure, the cost of my desire, the cost of what I think is going to make me feel best, whatever it is. I trust you, you know best. That takes humility, man, but that's where paths of blessing and joy come from. God's plan is always, always best. He always has the best intentions and best plan for his children, 100% of the time. God loves healing and restoration. All the situations represented today, the complexities, man, what God can do with lives and hearts that are fully surrendered to him and saying, not my will, but your will be done. What he can do with hearts that do that, wow, 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 wow. And lastly, listen, God loves you. He loves you. I want you to hear that, man. Again, this is why Jesus Christ came and lived and died and rose from the dead. He loves you. No matter your situation, no matter your circumstance, no matter your background, no matter your sin, no matter what happened, again, he loves you. But listen, listen, I said it, but he won't make you. He invites you. He loves you. But you have to trust him. You have to surrender to him. You have to believe in him. You have to go to him. You have to allow him to take over. You can't be like, yeah, Lord, I'll do it my way for most of the time. And when I get help or when I need you, I'll kind of cry out to you. No, 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 no. He drives, man. He drives. You give him the keys. He's the one on the steering wheel. He loves you. He loves you. He forgives you. He graces you. He restores you. He's the only one who can heal you. But again, what happens, church? What happens, church? So many of us, we run in the other direction. But today again, he chases us down because he loves you. He loves you, but it can't be you. It's gotta be him. It can't be your way. It's gotta be his. It can't be like half and half. It's gotta be all of him. You gotta receive his love. You gotta receive his grace. You gotta bow to his will. And then listen, promise, not ease, promise joy, promise grace, promise life, promise healing, promise purpose, promise hope, the hope of the world without sin and death and pain and no divorce and eternal love in the face of Jesus Christ. Yes, please sign me up. He wants to bless you. Why? Because he loves you. But listen, you gotta surrender. We gotta surrender. God help us, amen, church? Let's pray, let's pray. God help us, oh God help us. So much here, so much here. We have a prayer right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, over this church family and over the families in this church family, over the marriages here, Lord, over the singles in our church, Lord, over those who have been through pain and hurt. In Jesus' name, comfort them now. Draw near, Lord, would you please draw near as only you can. All sin is forgiven when confessed. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. I beg you for the next generation, young people, desiring to be married, it is a wonderful, awesome, beautiful institution. It is to be approached with sobriety and trembling and seriousness. The design of God, a walk unto death. Absolutely beautiful when trusted in you. Help us, Lord, again, so many situations. May you minister to each one. I pray you have been doing and you will continue to do that now. And even as we sing the song, I pray for blessing, blessing over families and blessing over marriages and blessing over children. May it be so. We need you so much. We pray this now in Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light.